Now, the Republicans did retain control of the House of Representatives, but only by a margin of 18 votes. It's very close. And the edge actually came from border states, where federal troops helped bring in Republican votes, the way they had helped bring in pro-union votes in Maryland back in the crucial gubernatorial election that we talked about in the early months of the war. Several state legislatures also went Democratic, so it's a bad round of elections for the Republicans. How do we explain this? Part of it was that there was widespread unhappiness with the Emancipation Proclamation across the North. Lots of Northerners didn't think the war should be about emancipation. They believed it should be a war about union. Also, a great deal of unhappiness with such war measures as arbitrary arrests and the harsh Second Confiscation Act that Congress had passed back in July of '62. There was also a lack of unity among Republicans themselves. We've talked about that, the debates going on within the Republican Party about how hard to push on emancipation, what kinds of wartime legislation would best suit the Republic. The fact that the Republicans did not present a really united front to the Democrats hurt the Republicans in those fall elections. But I think the most important factor was union failures on the battlefield, perceived failures on the battlefield. Northerners saw, from their point of view, smaller Confederate armies time and again defeating a larger Union army, or at least not being defeated by the Union army. And people tended to blame the administration and the Republicans in Congress for failing to press on to victory. Now, this phenomenon is very much indicative of the Eastern focus of people in the North. We've talked about before, the only way you could conclude that the Northern military was not being successful was to look at Virginia, because if you looked anywhere else, you'd see enormous success on the part of Northern armies, but you don't see it in Virginia, and that hurt the Republicans, I think, in the off-year elections in '62. Within his own party, radicals accused Lincoln of being too easy on the rebels. They wanted all-out war that would quickly bring ruin to the South. A coterie of senatorial radicals attempted to force Lincoln to remake his cabinet, in fact, in a way that Secretary of the Treasury Salmon P. Chase would find himself standing as perhaps the most important figure in the cabinet, the most powerful figure. Lincoln outmaneuvered the radicals. It's interesting, the radicals often were trying to outmaneuver Lincoln concerning his cabinet, but really, as good a politician as many of them were, Lincoln was better. He managed to fend them off time and again. Vallandigham and the Copperheads seemed to be gaining momentum in the spring of 1863. Burnside's defeat at Fredericksburg was a terrible blow to the Lincoln administration. In the aftermath of that defeat, there had been an ignominious failed campaign called the Mud March in Virginia, where Burnside tried to get around Lee's flank but bogged down in horrible weather and mismanagement of the army. That was in January. These things really seemed to give impetus to the peace Democrats, to the Copperheads. Some of that impetus was blunted, however, by events involving Vallandigham himself. He was running for the governorship of Ohio, and he was looking for an issue. Ambrose Burnside, exiled to the Department of Ohio after he lost the Battle of Fredericksburg, supplied Vallandigham with his issue. Burnside was headquartered at Cincinnati, right in the middle of Copperhead country, and he issued an order in April 1863 saying that treason would no longer be tolerated in his department. Vallandigham then made several speeches calling the war a wicked failure and urging the repeal of the Emancipation Proclamation, and encouraging Northern voters to unseat Lincoln, declare an armistice, and invite the White South to negotiate a restoration of the Union along the pre-war lines of the old Union. Leaving New England out, said Vallandigham, if everyone agrees. Now, these were standard Copperhead themes. They were repeated endlessly by a variety of Copperhead politicians and others, but under Burnside's order, they constituted treason. And on May 5th, the same day that Joseph Hooker and the Army of the Potomac would begin to withdraw from the Chancellorsville battlefield, soldiers broke into Vallandigham's home and arrested him. The question is, why make a martyr of Vallandigham with this harsh arrest? I think the temper of the times explains it.